great con, Cohelis Hawkins.
Praise Yahweh. You may all be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Before we get started, there's two things I would like for you to write down. Okay, and this is basically what we're going to discuss today. And the first thing I would like for you to write down is this, and it's a statement. If you want to be like Yahweh, you have to know Yahweh. Okay? If you want to be like Yahweh, you have to know Yahweh. And the second one is a question. And this is something that we should constantly be asking ourselves to make sure that we don't fall into deception and things like that. But the question is this: how do you know that you know Yahweh? Okay? How do you know that you know Yahweh? Because there's many people that claim that they know Yahweh, but they're not here at Yahweh's house serving Yahweh. So how do you know that you truly know Yahweh, even if you're here at Yahweh's house? And this is some of the things we're going to discuss today. Because a few weeks ago, Pastor made a statement. Okay, he made a statement, and it was really brief, and then he kept on going with his sermon. And what he said was, you know, if you knew what was in the Holy Scriptures, you would know Yahweh. Do everybody remember him saying that? Yeah? Okay, well, it was only a couple of weeks ago, so you'll hear it on the radio. But he said, if you knew what was in the Scriptures, you would know Yahweh. And I was thinking about that, and I said, you know, that's exactly what Yeshua said. That's exactly what Yeshua said, but he said it a little bit differently, but the point is the same. So if you'll open up your books to Matithiah chapter 22, and we'll start there. Matithiah chapter 22. It's on page 750 in your books of Yahweh, verse 29. Yeshua answered and said to them, "You are deceived because you do not know the Scriptures nor the power of Yahweh." Okay, so he said you're deceived because you don't know the Scriptures nor the power of Yahweh. So let's think about what he's saying to these people here who are claiming to know Yahweh. Because remember who he was dealing with here. You know, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Herodians, and so on. Okay? You're deceived because you do not know the Scriptures. Because if they did know the Scriptures, they would have knew who he was and what he was there to do, right? But they didn't know. Okay? They came against him to the point where they even took his life. So they didn't know Yahweh. They didn't know what was in the Scriptures. And a lot of people fall into deception because we don't know what's in the Scriptures. And so the other part here is he says, nor do you know the power of Yahweh. So let's take a look at Romans chapter 1, because we want to take a look at what this power of Yahweh is. Romans chapter 1. And again, we're just rehearsing the things that Pastor already taught us. And I'm going to prove that to you here later on as well. You know, all of these things that we're going to go over today, Pastor has already made these things abundantly clear. In Romans chapter 1, let's start at verse 20. And we're going to work our way up. But in verse 20, it says, "For since the creation of the world," and look at that, from the creation of the world. So this is going way back to the beginning. And this is what Pastor has been showing us also. You know, the plan of Yahweh has been from the beginning. There's nothing new. This is from the very beginning. "For since the creation of the world, the invisible things of him are clearly seen, his eternal power and holiness being understood by the things that are written, so that they are without excuse." Okay, so is there any excuses for being deceived? No, there's not. We shouldn't be deceived. You know, not only do we have the Holy Scriptures, the books of Israel, and everything else in the house of Yahweh, but we also have a teacher to guide us so that we will not be deceived. Okay, praise Yahweh. So everything that we have, well, let's look at verse 19, because Father Yahweh explains it a little bit more here. "For that which is known about Yahweh is manifest to them," or it's made openly known to them, "because Yahweh has shown it to them." Okay, so everything that we need to know about Yahweh is shown to us. Now, here's another question. How is it shown to us? Okay, do we sit in our own little private rooms and meditate on Yahweh, and then we see visions and images and we hear voices, you know, coming out of the lead paint in the walls? Lead paint. Well, you probably will hear voices from that. But turn over to 1 Timothy 3:15. 1 Timothy 3:15. That's on page 934. Hold your places there in Romans, because we're going to go right back to there. But on page 934, 1 Timothy 3:15. And remember what we just read here in verse 19. It says, "Everything that's known about Yahweh is manifest to us because Yahweh has shown it to us." And this is how we come to know Yahweh. But in verse 14 here, 1 Timothy 3:14, "The things I write to you hoping to come to you shortly. These things I write to you, hoping to come to you shortly. But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know the right and proper way to conduct yourself in the house of Yahweh. So why is he writing? He's writing so that we can know how to conduct ourselves in the house of Yahweh. Okay? Hold your place there and look back at verse 20 again in Romans. It says, I'm trying to skip a little bit here, but I'm going to just read the whole scripture. Verse 20, for since the creation of the world, the invisible things of him are clearly seen, his eternal power and holiness being understood by the things that are written. So you can see that the way that we're going to get our understanding is through the writings, through the inspired scriptures and through the writings, you know, of the ones that Yahweh sent. And he said here that these writings are so that we can know how to conduct ourselves in Yahweh's house. Okay, so we can know how to conduct ourselves in Yahweh's house. Now take a look at verse 16 in Romans, chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the message, for it is the strength of Yahweh. Okay, this message, these teachings, these writings are the strength of Yahweh. And in the King James Version, that word strength is actually written power. Okay, it's power. Okay, but we have a greater understanding and we're not like thinking about power as far as like acts of power or anything like that. But we're talking about the ability to teach and so on and so forth. And this is the strength of Yahweh, this strength that will actually change the hearts and the mind of an individual. Okay, that's the true power of Yahweh, being able to change the heart and the mind of a person so a person will choose righteousness over choosing a path which leads to death. It says that this is the strength of Yahweh. Look at verse 17. For in this message is the righteousness of Yahweh revealed. Okay, it is in these teachings, in these writings, that the righteousness of Yahweh is revealed. So what is that saying? That's saying that if you can actually understand what's being taught in the house of Yahweh, you will see Yahweh. Okay, that's what he's saying here. In these teachings, you will see Yahweh. Okay, turn over to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, that's on page 951. Okay, because remember, you know, being in the house of Yahweh, we want to be like Yahweh, so we have to know Yahweh. We have to know how Yahweh conducts himself, how he thinks, how he judges, all of these things, if that's what we want to be like. So, you know, it's very important to figure out what we need to do in order to see Yahweh, to be like Yahweh. In Hebrews chapter 12, take a look at verse 15. It says, searching diligently so that no one falls short of the honor of Yahweh, so that no root of bitterness grows up and cause trouble or to cause trouble. For because of this, many are defiled. So you see, part of the reason why we can't see Yahweh is because sometimes we allow a root of bitterness to grow up in us, which leads to other things, you know, other negative character traits, which doesn't, it keeps us from being able to see the scriptures and to see Yahweh and everything that we're being taught in the house of Yahweh. Because every time we see a priest or we see pastors teaching and things like that, we should be able to see Yahweh. We should be able to hear Yahweh in that message. But if we're sitting there and we have our doubts and we're wondering and just judging and things like that, do you really see Yahweh? There's no way, because Yahweh says, this is my house. Yahweh is guiding this house and leading it to perfection through his witness Israel. And if we can't see that or believe that, then we need to examine ourselves and find out, what do I need to do so that I can see Yahweh? Because this is the only place on the face of the earth where you will see Yahweh. You're not going to see Yahweh in a church on Sunday. Okay? You're not going to learn about Yahweh at a church from Satan. Okay? She doesn't want you to know about Yahweh. So she's going to tell you, don't mention that name in here. Don't mention the name of Yahweh anymore. Okay? This is what's going on. Oh, Yahweh, God, it's all the same. No. Okay, Yahweh is perfectly righteous. He chooses to be righteous. And he says that my children are going to do the same thing. They're going to choose to be perfectly righteous. And that's what we have to be able to see and believe in the Holy Scriptures. But the root of bitterness and all of these things, it causes a defilement in the mind. It causes this confusion to where we can't see clearly. Look at verse 14. It says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no one will see Yahweh. So without this holiness, without keeping these laws of Yahweh, you won't see Yahweh. You won't be able to look at the scriptures and see Yahweh, let alone be able to stand before him and see him physically. Okay, but we're talking about being able to hear the teachings and change our lives. We're talking about changing our lives based on believing what's written in the Holy Scriptures, which is a great honor to this house, believing without seeing. Okay, but Yahweh has given us the ability to hear and to see the examples of the what's in the scriptures and to change our lives accordingly. Okay. Now, remember, the Apostle Shaul said that, you know, if our message is hidden, it's hidden to those who are lost. Okay, this message pertaining to Yahweh's righteousness, because again, remember that in this message is the righteousness of Yahweh revealed. This is how you're going to see Yahweh. Okay, this is how you're going to see Yahweh. Take a look over at Hebrews chapter 11 here. Look at verse 27, because let's just read the whole thing here, starting at verse 23. And this is pertaining to Moshe, because this is a man who desired to see Yahweh, and he made certain choices in his life so that he can be a part of Yahweh's kingdom. Okay, and you know the history of Moshe, but let's look at verse 23. It says, by the faith, when he was born, he was hidden 3 moons by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's decree. By the faith, Moshe, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of Yahweh than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of a saint greater riches than these in Egypt, for he was looking to the recompense of the reward. Now, this is the point that I really want you to pay attention to here. It says, motivated by the faith. And remember, Pastor said many, many, many times that the faith simply means living by the every word of Yahweh. Okay, living by the every word of Yahweh. But motivated by the faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for as though seeing the invisible one, he endured. Okay, you see that? He made choices in his life because he's seen Yahweh. No, he saw a portion of Yahweh to the point where he knew that he didn't want to live in a sin in Egypt any longer. But he wanted to give that up, go to the house of Yahweh, and have his heart and his mind changed. That's what he wanted to do. And this is what we all should want to do. Praise Yahweh. It says, through the faith, well, we don't need to continue reading there, but that's the main point. He was able to see Yahweh, and because he was able to see Yahweh and to see what Yahweh had to offer, okay, because he was able to spiritually see what Yahweh had to offer, it gave him the strength to endure any and everything that he had to deal with. Okay, and that's what we need to do, because right now, only thing we see really is what Satan dangles in front of our face. You know, the American dream, so on and so forth. And so that seems more tangible. And that's why we have to put our minds and put our attention right into the scripture so that we can actually see what Yahweh has to offer. Because if we're not studying or listening to the teachings, to this message, which reveals Yahweh to you, then how are you going to know what you have to offer, what Yahweh has to offer you? You know, there's no way you're going to know unless you're actually seeking after it. Okay, and Yahweh will show you these things. You know, our pastor and overseer, remember, his job is to reveal the great secrets of Yahweh. You know, his character, the great plan, what our role is, why we were created, so on and so forth. All of these things have been given to us through our pastor. It's been revealed to us. You know, Yahweh's great character. People still don't know Yahweh's character. They still think that Yahweh is a vengeful God, angry, ready to just strike people down because they make poor choices. You know, when in fact, these people are just uneducated pertaining to the ways of salvation, pertaining to the ways of life. You know, Yahweh's not going to strike them dead because they don't know any better. Okay, they're going to have an opportunity to change their lives when they come to Yahweh's house. But right now, they just have to go through what they're going through so they can realize that, yes, we will bring death to ourselves if we don't live Yahweh's way. Okay, but we have an opportunity here because we're called here to actually move past that and to actually be able to see Yahweh and then to be a part of this great kingdom, which is, I tell you, it's so wonderful that we really have to start setting our minds on it so that we can truly appreciate what Yahweh has done for us and is doing for us. But even on top of all of that, Yahweh says that it still hasn't even entered into the mind of man what he has in store for us. So you still can't even imagine it. Okay? We just have a glimpse. You know, we know we're going to be guiding and teaching in righteousness, but that's like the tip of the iceberg. I don't know what else he has. It's just some amazing stuff. But turn over to Exodus, because I want to continue talking about Moshe for a moment. Exodus chapter 33 on page 73. Because remember, we just read about Moshe, how he left his life of sin in Egypt, or left Egypt where they were teaching sin and so on. And he saw Yahweh and he wanted to be a part of that. And he endured all of those things. And in chapter 33, let's take a look at verse 13. Well, just to briefly cover the chapter here, what's occurring here is Yahweh told Moshe to lead the people out of the land that they were in and take them to the land that he had promised their forefathers. And so he said he's not going to go with them because the children of Israel were stiff-necked and rebellious people, and they may be destroyed on the way. And so the people heard the report and they were all nervous, like, oh, Yahweh's going to destroy us. You know, we're sinners. And so Moshe here in verse 13, he says, now, therefore, I pray, if I have found honor in your sight, show me your way So even here, Moshe is still asking Father Yahweh, please continue to teach me your way. You know, I don't know everything. You know, I need to know you, Father Yahweh. Continue to help me. He says, show me your way that I may know you and that I may continue to find honor with you. Remember, this nation is your people. So Moshe wasn't asking, you know, for this to know Yahweh for his own benefit. You know, he was asking Yahweh to show him his way so that he could be a blessing to the people. Okay, these are your people. Help me to teach them not to be a stiff-necked and rebellious people. Continue to show me, Father Yahweh, how can I be a blessing to your people? You know, and this is the same thing that Solomon prayed. Remember, Solomon didn't ask for riches. He didn't ask for these things. He said, Father Yahweh, just give me the knowledge that I need to guide these people of yours. These are your people. Help me to lead them. You know, a pastor prays this constantly. We know this. You know, Father Yahweh, help me to guide your people. These are your people. Okay, and that's what he's doing. But do we believe what's written in the scriptures? Do we believe into the one sent? Do we believe Yahweh's guiding his house and bringing us to perfection? You know, we have to be able to see this. We have to truly be able to see what's in the Holy Scriptures by first getting rid of all of the negative character traits. Because if there's bitterness, you know, when someone's trying to correct you, to help you to turn from the poor choices, from the sin, let me put it like it is, to turn from sin, and oh, I don't know why he's telling me that, blah, blah, blah. Okay, you're not even listening to the correction. You're rejecting Yahweh trying to help you. You're rejecting Yahweh trying to help save your life because you're bitter. There's no way you're going to see help in that message if you're bitter. We have to humble ourselves and be corrected. It's saving our lives. Praise Yahweh. So Moshe said, Father Yahweh, you know, show me your way. Show me your way so that I may know you. And remember, let's go down to verse 17. It says, and Yahweh said to Moshe, truly the thing you ask I will do, for you are honored in my eyes, and I know you by name. Then Moshe said, show me your glory. And Yahweh said, I will make all my righteousness pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name Yahweh in your presence. Now remember, how do you know the righteousness of Yahweh? Okay, it's in the message of Yahweh. And this message is the righteousness of Yahweh revealed. So pay close attention to what's going on in the house of Yahweh right now. You know, let's not get caught up into Yahweh coming down on a magic carpet or in a cloud or something like that and covering Moshe up in a rock, you know, floating past him. Okay, you can look at my back now. Okay, let's pay attention to what's going on in the house of Yahweh, because Moshe says, show me your glory. And Yahweh said, I will show it to you because you are honored. And he says, I will proclaim my name, Yahweh, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy and compassion on whom I will have compassion. And then it goes on, and you can see in chapter 34 where Yahweh gives Moshe his righteous attributes, right? He says, he gives him all of his 13 attributes, and on the side it says, almighty, merciful and compassionate, long-suffering, abounding, possessing righteousness and truth, keeping mercy, forgiving, judging sin, heavenly Father, making the covenant with his people, doing marvels, awesome, and zealous. Okay, these are Yahweh's attributes. So these are the things that Moshe was learning in Yahweh's house. You know, show me your way, Yahweh. Yahweh says, okay, I will show you my character. I will place my character on you. Remember what we just read in Hebrews where it said that if you don't keep peace with all men and if you don't have holiness, you will not see Yahweh. Remember that? Okay, I want to read to you something that Pastor spoke about. Second book of Israel. Okay, second book of Israel. I'm going to cover two different things here. This is going on to perfection number 18, the power of death taken from Satan and given to the sons of Yahweh through Yeshua's death, the power to give life. Okay, and that sermon was given 3-6-93. And so first, I want to comment on the fact where Moshe said to, he asked Father Yahweh, he said, show me your glory. That's in verse 18. Then Moshe said, show me your glory. In the second column, it says, now in Isaiah is the name. Isaiah is the name. In Isaiah 42:8, I am Yahweh, that is my name and my glory. Remember the word glory. I will not give to another, that is a God. He only gives his name to his immediate family or the one who become one with him. He's not giving it to somebody else. Only the ones who become one with him. He's not giving it away to another, but he's giving it away to you to become one with him. Praise Yahweh. He says, I will not give it to another, nor my praise to graven images. No, he's going to give praise to you, his house, and to himself, because you're going to be like him. And this is what he was showing Moshe. Okay, this is what he was showing him. I will give you my character. Okay, I will give you my character. You will be like me. This is my glory. You know, this is who I am. And it, a couple paragraphs down, it talks about the word holy. And remember, it says, without this holiness, without keeping the laws of Yahweh, you won't see Yahweh. It says this word holy means one who lives by the laws of Yahweh, actually having his character, the same character of Yahweh. His very character has been placed in this person. So when they are called holy, they are actually holy. Okay, when he calls you holy, you are actually like Yahweh. You actually have the character of Yahweh. Okay, and that's what's being said here. And this is what Pastor has been teaching from the very beginning. That was in 1993, teaching us to develop the character of Yahweh. Okay, and this is what Moshe desperately was seeking. Father Yahweh, show me your way so that I may know you. Okay, now this brings me to my next point, our high priest Yahshua. If you turn over to Yochanan chapter 8, Yochanan chapter 8. Yeshua made a statement, and it was a very, 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 I think it was a very powerful statement. And it's in verse 55. It's on page 825. Yeshua said in verse 55, "For you have not known him, but I know him. So if I would say I do not know him, I would be a liar just like you are. But I know him and I keep his laws." Okay, he says, "I know him and I keep his laws." So he didn't say, "I know him because I keep his laws." Okay. Now, I don't want to lose you here because you do have to keep Yahweh's laws. But he didn't say, "I know him because I keep his laws." He says, "I know him and I keep his laws." Okay, I know him and I keep his laws. That's two separate things going on there. Okay, turn over to Proverbs chapter 1. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 1. Okay, Yeshua says, "I know him and I keep his laws." In verse 7, it says that the reverence of Yahweh is the beginning, the first requirement, the chief part of knowledge and wisdom. So, of course, you have to keep Yahweh's laws to know Yahweh. It's the first part. It's the first thing you have to do to even begin to know Yahweh. Yes, you have to keep Yahweh's Sabbath. Yes, you have to keep the feast days. Yes, you have to do all of the things that Yahweh says to do. You have to eat clean food. You have to know the difference between the clean and the unclean. You know, and the priest teaches the difference between the holy and profane, the difference between righteousness and sin. This is the first part of coming to know Yahweh. Okay, this is the first part. But the other thing, remember what Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55, it says that, let's read it. I don't want to butcher it. Isaiah 55, verse 11. It says, "So my word, the law and the prophets that goes forth from my mouth, my word will not return to me void without producing effect, but it will accomplish that which I please, and it will succeed in things for which I sent it." Okay, and the whole reason for having these writings here is to change our hearts and our minds so that we can be made in the image and likeness of Yahweh. Okay, we're back to Genesis 1:26 in the beginning. Okay, from the beginning of creation. Okay, these things are written so that we can become like Yahweh. These words were given to us so that we can know Yahweh. Okay, so that we can be just like Yahweh. Okay, and this is what Yeshua is saying. You know, he says, "I know Yahweh and I keep his laws. I see Yahweh in the scriptures. I see Yahweh. I see the righteous attributes of Yahweh. I see Yahweh's character. Okay, I see the mercy. I see the compassion. And it allows me to do the same thing. Okay, because I want to be like Yahweh, I'm able to endure what I have to go through in order for everyone else to have an opportunity for salvation." This is what Yeshua has seen in the Holy Scriptures. You know, and he even said, "If you see me, then you've seen my Father." Okay. And it's the same thing we can say about Pastor, because he's what we're looking to as our righteous example to Father Yahweh. He who rules is Yahweh. And so if we're buried in the scriptures, we should be able to say, "You know what? I see Yahweh. OK, I hear Yahweh." And then you should be able to pick up any book and see Yahweh and hear Yahweh, because you know what the teachings are pertaining to salvation. OK, this is why we're in the house of Yahweh, to be like Yahweh, to know Yahweh. We're not here to do our own thing and to try to lead people away from Yahweh's house, you know. Leaving Yahweh's house only leads back to Christianity. It leads back to the ways of death. You know, we know what we were before we came here. We know exactly what we were before we came here. You know, and I don't think anyone here wants to go back to that. So what we need to do is get rid of the bitterness or whatever we're holding on to and actually start learning how to see Yahweh in everything that's done here at the house of Yahweh. Okay, learning how to see Yahweh in everything that's done here at the house of Yahweh. Okay, let's turn over to 1 Timothy. I have a few minutes left here. Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. That's on page 933. Page 933. Okay, continuing to speak about our high priest and all of the people of Yahweh here. Verse 5. It says, "Now the ultimate result of the law is love out of a pure heart, a clear conscience, and an unfeigned or genuine faith. Okay, so that's the ultimate result of the law. This is what can occur to us if we allow the law or Yahweh's words, as we just read in Isaiah, to have its perfect work in us. Okay, love out of a pure heart. Okay, love out of a pure heart, which is the total keeping of Yahweh's law to the point where, you know, we're not doing things for our own advantage, but for the benefit of all else, for the benefit of others, for everyone and everything else. Okay, now look over to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And this is specifically referring to our high priest. Romans 10, chapter 4, chapter 10, verse 4. And that's on page 881. For Yahshua is the ultimate result of keeping the law unto righteousness for everyone who believes. Okay? For everyone who believes. So we see that, you know, when we look into Yahshua, we see that he was the ultimate result of the keeping of the law. You know, he had love out of a pure heart, an unfeigned, a genuine faith, a belief in Yahweh, knowing what was in the scripture. So he wasn't deceived. He wasn't deceived. Yahshua knew exactly who he was and what he had to do to be a blessing to others. You know, and so this is where we need to be at. We need to know exactly who we are and how we can become a blessing to others. You know, because Yahweh allowed us to be, and I would say, the most blessed time period in the history of mankind, so that we can have this wonderful opportunity to be the finishing work of his great plan. You know, this is an honor that's going to go upon this house and no one else. And this is what Pastor has shown us. You know, this is our honor. This is our glory to be born in this time period and to choose to be righteous, just like Yahweh chooses to be righteous when the world is filled with sin. Okay, this is our glory. Okay, so, you know, how do you know that you know Yahweh? You know, I don't have a thus saith Yahweh, you know, but you know that you know Yahweh when you're starting to change, when you're, like it says in Psalms 119, 165, great peace have they that love your law, that nothing will offend them and cause them to fall away. Okay, when you have this great peace in Yahweh, when you're seeing Yahweh and your hearts and your minds are being changed to the point where you're like Yahweh. Okay, when you're like Yahweh, praise Yahweh. When you have the character of Yahweh, okay? When you're able to be able to handle a situation, you know, a conflict, and remain calm and remain patient. And still be able to keep your mental faculties to the point where you're able to teach and to guide that person or people out of the poor choices that they're making or the sin that they're choosing to partake in. You know, this is what we need to become. You know, and if we can't do it, who can? Okay, this is it. No, this is the seventh era of the house of Yahweh. This is the finishing work of Yahweh. Okay, we have to take that very seriously. No, Yahweh called us here, and he called us here for a very serious job. Okay, and we have to take it very seriously. We have to take it very seriously. You know, we have to become thoroughly trained in this. Okay, we can't look at classes and workshops and things like that as it's a waste of time. It's hot. I need to go get some rest. No, you know, we're being called to guide the universe so that they can have life. Okay, who wants to go home and go to sleep now? You shouldn't want to go home and go to sleep. We need to be here learning so that we can save someone's life. You know, you give up your sleep so someone else can live. That's what we have to do. We have to give up sleep so someone else can live. Okay, we're not doing this for ourselves. You know, we have to be like Moshe, like Solomon, like Pastor. You know, Father Yahweh, please show me your way. You know, show me your way that I may know you. Okay, and if we come to know Father Yahweh, then we'll be a blessing to everyone who sees us. May Yahweh bless your understanding. And if you'll all please stand, I'll turn the services over to the great Kahan, Zephaniah Hawkins.
Hello, everyone. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Please be seated. We have several stories this morning on different topics having to do with prophecy, but the first one is the over-the-counter morning after pill is now available to all ages. They're going to say that they gave up on the appeals, but they gave up a lot earlier than they're saying. And then we're going to have massive protests in Brazil. And this is over the cost of living. They've actually gotten it to the point where the people can barely afford to eat. And it's not about the World Cup. It's the people are angry because they're spending all this money on stadiums for the World Cup, but at the same time, they can't afford to eat. There's something like 13 million people in that country that cannot afford to eat. And then we have a new virus. It's called the MERS virus, which is killing 50% of the people that get it. And this one could become one that kills millions of people, but they don't know yet. And when you're dealing with a virus that's that deadly, it actually sometimes can burn itself out. but they never know. But this is, of course, another one that's a result of sin. And then we have modern wheat. This is a great story on wheat. And what the man says, he's a doctor who wrote a book, and he calls wheat, modern wheat, is the perfect chronic poison. And he says it actually has an opiate in it. And the newscaster says, why in your estimation is wheat so bad? And he says, it's not wheat. It's an 18-inch tall plant created by genetics research in the 60s and 70s. So this is a really scary story. But what he's saying is if you stop eating this genetically modified wheat, your health will get a lot better in a lot of ways. And then we have one on the high cost of cancer treatment in children. And this talks about not the cost in terms of financial, but the cost in terms of health impacts later in life. And this is just, of course, the tip of the iceberg, because that's what the House of Yahweh is all about. It's about the fact that all of these activities that are sin have negative impacts in your later years. So let's play the news. Everyone please stand. The greatest teacher in the world, the great Kohan Israel Hawkins! Shalom, everyone! Come on, louder! Come on, come on! There we go! Now, one last time! Come on! Praise Yahweh! You might be seated. Wonderful day. I've got a lot to cover. The world is in such a confusing mess right now, and it's getting worse. As anyone can see is watching the news, may the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The confusion that we see in the world right now, it's absolutely unbelievable sometimes, the things that they're doing. But it's bringing on what Yahshua said. If you could get it in your minds, and especially you young people, you know, if you just see that this was what Yahshua said, what I'd like you to do is bring a notebook. This is what I used to do when I was going to services and trying to find answers that I had for 40 years. I'd take a notebook and I would make notes, and then I would try to explain that sermon to someone else. Now, if you'll do this, the next sermon, you'll be prepared more for the next week, because you're going to see how you're falling short. So if you try to explain that sermon to someone else, just get them to listen, or get a group to listen to you, or go to the classes here and do it there, you will see that you'll fall short a little, but it'll help you to make better notes the next week, because you'll see where you're missing out. I want you to become teachers, all of you, to become teachers. Praise Yahweh. Here, this news report wasn't covered today, but it's a deadly outbreak of piglets virus. Spreads to 13 states. Pigs dying like flies. Now, that's not the worst part. The health department is telling them it's all right to eat these pigs. And you can see now the confusion. How would you like to sit down to a dinner to pigs that has died of a virus, And sit down and put an apple in his mouth, of course, because this is a forbidden fruit that is shown in all their paintings. But now this is what they're telling the people. Surely you can see the confusion there. The confusion gets more serious when we look at the headlines today, like Putin stands up to G8 warmongers. Now, this is a headline. Putin, he's the president of Russia, prime minister of Russia. He stands up against the G8 warmongers. Now, this should put something in your mind. There's something wrong out there.
for a leader of a huge country like Russia, who has stockpiles, big stockpiles of nuclear weapons, and he's standing up against the G8 warmongers, it says, on Syria, reaffirming support for Assad's government. He says the ousting of Assad, this is his statement, the ousting of Assad has been the top foreign political priority of the Western regime for more than 2 years. Under the cynical guise of supporting a pro-democracy uprising, Washington and the two former colonies powers, colonial powers, have plunged Syria into a milestone of violence that has resulted in more than 90,000 deaths. Now, you see where he's putting the blame here. But you see, he's standing up in their face and saying, we're not going to budge, and we got weapons to back us up. Now, get the rest of this. Putin told Obama, Cameron, and Hollande face-to-face that Russia was standing firm in its support for the government of President Bashar al-Assad in Damascus. He warned that any plans by the Western powers to openly support weapons to anti-government militants in Syria was against international law and would destabilize the region. Well, of course, it's already unstable. That whole part of that earth is unstable there, but as far as that goes, the United States is too, because they got the same confused minds here as you saw the cancer in the children. I can tell you for sure everybody today in the world, in the whole world, has an STD of some kind, and many of them have the second stage of STDs, which is cancer. Yes, cancer is caused by STDs. I got the proof for it. We got scientific evidence, scientific tests that prove this, and they're now admitting it. STDs cause cancer. They cause just about 99% of all sickness and disease on the face of the earth. You're going to die of one of these diseases unless Yahweh changes you over to the permanent body. And he'll only do that by submission to righteousness, which will stop all of this crap you see right here going on in the world. Destabilize the region. And Putin refused to revoke a deal by Russia to deliver anti-aircraft defense missiles to Syria, pointing out that the transaction was a legal bilateral agreement between sovereign countries. In one full sweep, Putin used the auspices of the annual G8 forum to debunk Western lies, he said, propaganda on Syria, and to reiterate the fact of international relations, namely that Syria is a sovereign country with a sovereign government. Now, of course, this war is going to go on. It's going to take place. Your scripture showed this. I told you this was going to take place before the war ever started over there. I showed you in prophecy. You can stand on these prophecies. And you young people, right now, if you don't get into this work, in Yahweh's work, and get your mind on this work, and start learning to become a teacher, you will get caught up into this. You'll get cancer. You'll get STDs. You'll get everything you don't want. All the diseases of Egypt is going to come upon you, and you got them already. You know, if you just read the news and read the test, you'll see they're lurking in your body right now. And science knows this. And they know that any time you could come down, no matter how old you are, you could come down with one of these stupid diseases and be dead in a few days. And if your heart is not right with Yahweh. You're not training for his everlasting service. You'll never see life again except for the judgment where you're resurrected and you're asked the question, why didn't you go ahead and listen to the one sent and repent and turn to righteousness? Because the way it stands right now, if you don't, then you're a leader of this damnation that is plaguing this world of sickness, sin, and war. You're a leader of it. You're a teacher of it. The only thing that you could do right now is repent and stop leading this world or your brothers or sisters into the same crapola that you're seeing on the news day after day. Is this what you want in your life? Death and destruction? Turn to righteousness and get your mind on righteousness and off of the stupidity that goes with the telephone, the internet, all the crapola that leads you to sexual sins, sexual forbidden sexual activities. Syrian rebels confirmed received new effective weapons from friendly countries. It's almost a laugh to read how they try to cover themselves and make out like, oh, this is great, you know, we're friendly. We're sending these friendly weapons over there so they can wipe out men, women, and children. You see the confusion in their minds? It's like feeding sick pigs to the people and saying, oh, this won't hurt you. Syrian rebels have received heavy weapons, including anti-tank, anti-aircraft missiles from brotherly nations that support the Syrian revolution. What if that revolution was going on here? You know they're getting ready for it? They're going to spend $6 more million on a fence. Not to fence out, but to fence in. I think that is a bunch of lies too. The weapons will be a turning point in the war against government forces and will definitely change the rules of war, of the war on the ground. The White House has not publicly specified that what steps, though sources have told CNN that small arms, ammunition, and possibly anti-tank weapons would be part of the assistance package. Well, of course, then Russia, we'll see what Russia does. That's not the worst part. They're planning on war. I don't think I have that article, but they're definitely planning. Wait a minute. Here it is. U.S. fuels Korean crisis. An analyst says he believes that there is a great danger of the United States sparking a nuclear war with China or Russia over Syria. Get that? Now, this nuclear war, it's not an easy thing that we're facing here. We're going to see about 4/5 of the Earth's population wiped out. Right now, we're suffering, almost the whole world is suffering, from what went on in Afghanistan and Iraq. Now, this was the depleted uranium. Surely we're reading about that. Surely we know what that's doing. Babies are being born with two heads because of it. We didn't get that film yet, but we will show it maybe next week. The birth defects are horrible. The things that it's doing to the women are horrible. The things that is occurring with the men are horrible. These are the things you're facing when you don't have Yahweh's protection. And that Yahweh's protection is the only thing that's going to save you through this whole mess. It's coming on you, and it's coming shortly. Russia has warned, praise Yahweh, Russia has warned that a possible nuclear conflict on the Korean Peninsula, this is what we're looking for. This is what Yahshua said we're going to see in this generation. Matthew 24, he said, these things you're going to see. Will you believe it after you see it? Will you still be smiling with a smirk smile on your face then? Russia has warned that a possible nuclear conflict on the Korean Peninsula would be far more destructive than the Chernobyl nuclear disaster in 1986. Well, that would just be the start of it. That'll just be the start of the nuclear wars. I would make no secret about it. We are worried about the escalation of the North Korean Peninsula because we are neighbors. Russian President Vladimir Putin made the comment at a joint press conference with the German Chancellor Angela Merkel on Monday. I think there is a great danger of a nuclear war sparked between the United States and China. Do you remember me telling you? Do you remember Malachi Martin's book, The Keys of This Blood, saying before the war's ever started now, before the war started, Malachi Martin put out a book, The Keys of This Blood, showing how Satan, the Queen of Heaven, is going to make war and against China. China was one of the ones he mentioned in that book. The wars didn't even start till after that book was out, after I had already brought the wars concerning the Middle East. It was not started at that time, but it started later. In fact, it started on the very day that Yahweh gave in the Holy Scriptures. And if you'll go back and read that and read the articles that go with it, the newspaper articles, they prove that it was the very date that Yahweh gave in the Holy Scriptures. No comic writer could come up with these, with the foretelling of the future. No idiots could come up with this. No newsmen could come up with it. They had to be talking to higher sources to get this knowledge. But it's coming. It's here. It's upon us. We're suffering from it already, and if you'd stay up with the news, you'd see it. It's daily news now, especially on the Internet. There's no way. I could stand up here and talk all day on the news that's coming in off of this Internet now. I have to pass up article after article that we've received all week and say, well, we can't take all of this time, but we can maybe get a little just to get the people to thinking, watch the news, or remember this is what the news showed this week. If you put this down, if you don't put this down, you'll forget it. You won't be able to explain it to anyone else. I'm reading you news right here, right now, that they're saying this is going to take place. I'm telling you it's going to involve the United States too. It's going to involve you. Even if we didn't have a nuclear war, you wouldn't live very long. And even if you lived 50 years, remember the actor that died this week? The man was only 51 years old. He had all kinds of money, all kinds of doctors. I think there is a great danger. You know, when I see somebody sick, especially, and I've seen it all week, especially when it involves one of our people. Maybe you could put yourself in the position of a man who goes to the doctor or a woman, and they operate on the person. And they say, we think we got it all. Here's some of the damn lies they tell. We think we got it all, Mr. Hawkins. If I had a cancer, I'd want one just like yours, because it's a slow-growing cancer and it's easy to get rid of. So they send the man home. Imagine this occurring to you, and the things they cut out of you is part of your daily life. 5 months later, the man goes back and says, I'm hurting. I'm really hurting. I've got black stuff coming out where clear water is supposed to come out. Does this wake you up? Does this stir you up any? Put yourself in that man or woman's place, because it's going to happen to you if it happens to you, if you don't turn to Yahweh fully, and I'm talking to the whole world right now, if we don't stop these wars now, if we don't turn to Yahweh and start keeping His laws, this is going to happen to you. So they go back for a second operation, and they cut, and they cut, and they cut, and they sow. And then they release the person again. How would you like to be in his situation? And then they tell him a few more lies. A few months later, he goes back again. And they tell him more lies and cut some more body parts out. Now he's got stuff hanging on his side with tubes coming out, so it can drain in a bag because his inner parts won't work. This is the world for you. This is the confusion of this damnable world brought on by the Nimrod system that is fully alive today in the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church is bringing forth the Nimrod system. Hospitals are growing like crazy. Have you noticed? Have you ever driven by and looked at them? Buildings going up everywhere. They can't build fast enough. A new one's added. Then they got the emergency clinics besides that to go to. It's spreading like crazy. And they still can't keep up. You go to the doctor, the emergency room, bleeding. You sit there in the emergency room bleeding for 6 hours. Yes, this occurred. I'm telling you the truth. Do you really want to be a part of that world? There's only one thing you can do, and that's get out of it. Come out of it, Yahweh says, so you won't be suffering these plagues. Well, the Syrian nuclear conflict. I think there is a great danger of a nuclear war sparked between the United States and China. China. The one that Malachi Martin even named. He named Russia too. And the United States and Russia, this article says. These are the news analysts from Press TV. This is an article from Press TV, April 13, 2013. The United States and Russia over either Syrian or an Iranian situation in the Middle East or over Korea in Asia. The U.S. provocations are even more severe in the sense that they are sending nuclear bombs over Korea. The United States, you get that? They're sending nuclear bombs over Korea. Nuclear-armed submarines and ABM systems, all of which are seen correctly as the surrounding of China. This is our country, the United States, according to Press TV, on the 13th. General Dempsey is head of our Joint Chief of Staff here, who is a sane mind, it says, in the U.S., countering the Obama and British buildup for war, was asked. He's the one that was asked, and that is the answers that was given by him. These little things that we see going on, of course, they were put into operation by the Catholic Church years ago. What is suffered from it, of course, it's getting to all the world. Can surgery spread cancer? We just read this week about a famous actress. Now, if you remember the scriptures, Yahweh said that this is going to come down upon you to the third and fourth generation. The third and fourth generation is going to suffer from great-grandmother's sins or great-granddaddy's sins. That's what we're seeing in the world today. This person was afraid because her mother had already died of this after a long fight with the cancer. Her grandmother had died and her great-grandmother had died of the same things. You have your four generations there. She didn't have cancer yet, but she knew it was in her body. Well, they're getting now to where they can actually detect some of these things. Some of the lies that goes with this is that we can get rid of it. So they have what they call a biopsy. Now, I was reading about years ago, I don't know how many years ago it was, but I believe I was either working in the State Board of Health Laboratories or it was shortly after that when a knife hits a cancer, the cancer cells are released into the bloodstream. So people think they got the cancer cut out and it's gone and that'll be it. And they leave the hospital thinking this. They don't leave the hospital thinking that anymore because there's too much proof that it doesn't go that way. This article right here is entitled, Can Surgery Spread Cancer? 2/3 of cancer patients have surgery. But over the last 10 years, a debate is heating up over whether this supposedly life-saving, orthodox, medical approach to cancer is effectively making matters worse. That's the debate. And they got a lot of proof here. Matters worse. Cancer surgery may increase the risk of spreading cancer. The truth is that this is not a new debate. As long ago as 1995, The Lancet printed an article about whether prostate cancer surgery could spread the disease. Cancer is a multi-step process. The step includes inflammation to forming rogue cells, to needing a blood supply, to growing a tumor, to mastitis, and much more. Recent studies have shown in some cancers, like colon cancers, the firing off of rogue cells. That's what they mean by hitting it with a knife and it spreads like a shotgun blast. The firing off of rogue cells occur very early in the process. They then lie dormant, waiting to be stimulated into action. Now, I want to remind you of the third and fourth generation. Your sins today could actually cause your great-great-grandson to be born with cancer, with these rogue cells, lying dormant in your body. In fact, you may have them. You probably do have them right now. Everybody sitting here probably has rogue cells of cancer in their body from the sins, from the bestiality, fornication, sodomy, adultery. If you read about bestiality, which I've been studying it a lot, I have a large file on this. There's a lot shown on it and how this activity is spreading. And along with it, the bacteria and viruses that pig or that dog carry with it all the time. It doesn't hurt the pig or the dog. But when you mix your fluids with it, when a woman or a man breaks the law given to them in Leviticus 18. And those fluids mix. Yes, they definitely go into your body, and they are rogue cells. And four generations later, your offspring will still be suffering from those rogue cells. That's how important it is not to ever give in to that kind of stupidity. I beg you to read the article in this next month's magazine, because there's so much of this stuff I don't want to say on television. It hurts to have to say what I just said, but it's there. And the way to get it is just to go ahead and break those laws. You can do the same thing with another man's wife. You can do the same thing by fornication. You can do the same thing with sodomy. This throat cancer that Michael Douglas thought he had, thinks he has WHIP now. And Michael Douglas is righteous in a lot of ways. He's the one, if you remember, that got the team of actors together and they demanded that we stop war. That's what we're doing. We're demanding that we get rid of the weapons. If we could stop the wars, we would have it WHIP, because to stop the wars, we'll have to turn to the laws of Yahweh. That's right. Well, that would straighten out all things, not just stop the wars, but it would also stop diseases and disease epidemics. And then you wouldn't, after a while, the generations would not have this. The reason that we're going to be changed over, the reason we were made in this fleshly body, where we would suffer these things, Yahweh wants us to witness it. He wants us to witness what sin does. Satan was made to live an eternal life. Satan herself. But she's dying. And Yahweh shows it won't be long until she will be dead. She knows she's dying. And Yahweh shows the exact time as to how long her body is actually going to last her. When she's actually going to die. Find rest, as Isaiah put it. He shows that she will die, and she's dying now. She knows it. She's got to know it. But she thinks her doctors can save her, and her doctors are much more smarter than what we have on earth at this time. We're made lower than the heavenly beings at this time. So our intelligence is not as great as theirs, yet their intelligence, with all its greatness, will not save that woman. She's dying from the same thing that we're suffering here on earth. How many operations has she had? As far as I know, the scripture doesn't tell us that. It just shows that she's dying. When Yahweh changes you over to an everlasting body, you alone are going to be governing that body. And if you do these stupid things, Yahweh is going to say to you, how did you ever get in here? How did you get in here with this kind of sinful thing in your mind? Remember, where's your white robe? Revelation. How'd you get in here without this righteousness, this white robe? Then he will bind you hand and foot. And you will be cast out into outer darkness, along with several other heavenly beings that are also going to be cast into outer darkness that were made to live forever. You have the opportunity now to be called into Yahweh's work, trained for an everlasting position. Yahweh wants to make sure. That's the reason he tests you, he tries you. He puts things in front of you. That is, he allows these things to be put in front of you to see what you're going to do, to see if you'll accept this white robe or not, or golden robe as he's got laid up for you. Yes, actually above the white robe, because you believe without seeing. Well, what do you believe? You got to believe that you got to submit. You got to believe that. And then you got to practice it. You got to believe that you got to be obedient to Yahweh's every word. This will bring you joy in life. Believe it or not, the more you practice His laws, the more joyous you get. I can testify to that. But if you turn to sin, it will be available. So the same things that you're turning from right now will be available in that world. And as Yosef refused to sin with Pharaoh's wife, as he refused it, that's what you need to be doing yourself. You need to refuse all kinds of sin, because every little sin is going to bring back a curse into your body. And if you do this in the future, even after you have your eternal body, you will be laid somewhere where you won't affect others, and you'll be kept there till you die. Now that is the output of this sinful life. It won't be allowed in the kingdom. We're looking for a kingdom where righteousness dwells. Righteousness only. Recent studies have shown in some cancers like colon cancer, the firing off of rogue cells occurs very early in the process. They then lie dormant, waiting to be stimulated into action. And this is why people who have had their colon cancers cut out or cut away suddenly experience secondary cancers in the distant parts of their body. Distant parts of their body, several years later. Several years or even months later. And so we always refer to cancer as an all-over body disease. Well, what causes cancer? Now listen to me closely, because I asked the scientific world this, and they're now coming back with answers. STDs cause cancer. They admit this in the article of Michael Douglas. Michael Douglas said it, so did his doctor say it. STDs cause cancer. So yes, these cancers, and brethren, there's not just one kind of cancer. There's thousands of kinds of cancer. There's several kinds of cervical cancer, several different kinds, and they got a shot for one. And it's only, 75% effective or something like that, they're saying, for the one kind. There's hundreds of those things. Also, ovarian cancer. The same person now, famous actress, is thinking about going back now and having some more cut out just in case she might have it there. That still won't stop it. The man that died of the heart attack. You know, this man probably had a cancerous cell in his heart in just the right place. So when it started eating, he died. 51 years old, and he's dead. A rich man that could afford all kinds of doctor treatment. And now he's dead at 51 years old. Well, what caused the cancer? An STD. His life was filled with sin, like the whole world's life is filled with sin today. Remember they did away with the laws? Daniel 7 showed they did away with the law. Genesis 10 showed the Nimrod system. Nimrod means they rebelled. They rebelled against Yahweh's laws. That started the STDs to rolling. That started filling the bodies and causing what they call cancer, tuberculosis, chicken pox, all kinds of names they put on it. But it all comes from STDs. STDs and the eating of unclean food. You know, the pigs wouldn't have to have a virus to be unclean. You know, they'd be as clean as, they're still as clean as they'd ever be. Go ahead and eat them. They just died of a virus. Yeah, you can go ahead and eat them. This won't affect you. Well, what else is in that pig that will affect me? They haven't got sense enough to ask the question even. What else is in the pig? Why does Yahweh say it's unclean to me? And why does he say that I can become a bondable? That is, I can spread the disease to other people living around me, touching me, and so forth. Why would he say that? How did he know that? That was before microscopes. Dr. Pfizer hadn't been here to invent the microscope. At that time, that was 1400 B.C., almost 1,500 years before Yahshua, 2,000 years after. And they knew that there's something in that pig. Why don't science know this today? And why do they stop telling you these lies that pigs are okay to eat? Just referring to the virus, of course, the virus that killed them. If they'd wait long enough, they would see the other things that also kill, and they take them to the slaughterhouse just before they die and butcher them, and they say, put them on the market. Well, this is clean. No, it's not clean. It's never been clean. It's like buzzards. It's worse than buzzards because people won't eat a buzzard. He's too ugly looking. But they will eat this disguised varmint here that's full of death. And so we always refer to the cancer as an all-over body disease, one which loves glucose and growth hormones and hates oxygen and a strong immune system. Cutting out a lump in one place, unless the diagnosis has been made at an extremely early stage. Well, how would you diagnose something before a child is born, stupid? Think of this, stupid. You know, sometimes I want to just scream at them. Here's people being born with these things in their bodies. And make a diagnosis. It's already there in your body to begin with. And they make a quack statement like this, cutting out a lump in one place unless the diagnosis has been made at an extremely early stage. Yeah, like four generations ago. That would be how early you would have to make it for it not to be there. Is unlikely to remove. But even this, it does make a little sound. Cutting out this lump is unlikely to remove all the biochemical imbalances and the messages around your body. Yes, it won't remove it. The issue is called seeding. Seeding, like you plant a seed. You plant a seed and you watch it grow. Normally, that when a needle is used up to 15 times to take samples across an area where they suspect cancer, it might hit an area of cancer on probe 3 and pass just a few cells on when probing all the following areas. Now, what he's saying is, you stick a needle, you're doing a biopsy, and you're trying to find a cancer cell. So you're checking this to see if there's a cancer cell. So you pull a little bit out of each one of these probes, and you do several across here. Well, probe 3, he said. So you hit a cancer cell. You burst that cancer cell, and you send that throughout the body. That's exactly what they're saying. continuing liver biopsy gave rise to a serious risk of seeding and stabbing, that such biopsy was useless and dangerous. There have been several studies over the years suggesting that fine needles can pick up cancer cells from one location and transport them to another non-cancerous one. So it's like the prophet said when he said those who will run and try to save themselves in one area, they're only going to fall in another ditch. He's showing that there's no saving you out there in the world. There's nothing they can do out there that will save you. You're going to die sooner or later. Now, whether you'll make a name for yourself to be righteous and be used by Yahweh, that's up to you. Otherwise, you'll be resurrected in order to be damned. And that's the way you stand right now. It's a dangerous place you're in right now. It's a dangerous position, because if you turn, there'll not be a second chance for you. You really need to make a go of this one. You'll be ever joyous if you will, if you just set your heart and your mind. And I'm talking to people all over the world right now. We're the only people on the face of the earth that's telling you this. We're the only people on the face of the earth that know it. The whole world stands in stupidity and ignorance and confusion. They're groping in the dark all the time, trying to find an answer. But their answers, they want their answers to make money. This is the difficulty. I noticed that President Obama said this week, he said, we need to shut down all Catholic schools. Well, of course, what he's saying is, and what he showed in his article was, that they can't get along. They can't get along with the other religions. And, of course, here's the wars. I want to say one thing to the world here. They have nothing. They have nothing to agree on, because everyone is choosing his own way. And Yahweh says in Deuteronomy, the 12th chapter, he said, when you come to my house, seek his house. He says, you can't go your own way anymore, every man doing what is right in his own eye. Now let me tell you what will bring peace to you nations, and what Barack Obama and all other world leaders could do to bring peace to the world, stop wars, stop sickness and disease. They can all agree to follow the laws of Yahweh, who told them in advance. Now this being is smart enough to tell you in advance what your way is going to bring you. And that's what I'm telling you here today. If you got hopes in the doctor saving you, you got the weakest hopes on earth. They'll readily tell you they can't do it. They can cut pieces out of your body and say, well, you'll probably live 5 years longer now. You'll probably have 5 more years to live. Well, how many years would I have if you don't cut this piece out of my body? Well, probably 5 more years. So they're not doing anything but getting money from you for their operations. And I know this is hard to hear. It's hard, and I know that people have their trust in doctors and hospitals, but there's no hope there. The only hope that I can see anywhere, and they know this too. They know they're going to die. The doctors know they're going to die. They think the churches are going to switch them over to heaven, you know, when they die. But then this is a lie too. The churches can't even agree as to what to do to switch you over. This is what Barack Obama is talking about. The Catholics who invented Christianity to begin with, they don't agree. They fight with one another. The wars go on and have for years, for centuries. The only thing that will stop this whole mess is to agree to following the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. That will bring peace. It will bring eternal life. It will stop sickness. It will stop war. It's promised in the Holy Scriptures. The same one that told you that we're going to have nuclear bombs in this generation that you could see. He also told you there's going to be incurable diseases that you're going to see. And it's going to be in every one of you. You got it right now. Don't give way. Don't lose faith and turn and go to the world for salvation. It's not there. They're the ones that brought this to begin with. The Catholic Church is the one that brought this. They did away with the laws. They admitted they did away with the laws. Now, that's the laws that if they and Christianity would agree to follow, they could have peace. But they won't repent. Your Bible says in chapter 18 and 17 of Revelations, they will not repent even after a third part of man is killed in that part of the country where they're fighting right now and fixing to go into big war now with China and Russia. The Koreas involved, all of these things, all of these countries are going to be involved. And then they're going to hit the U.S. Yes. In the last stages of war and bluff, in the Kennedy days, Russia was set up to destroy the United States. And when they let it be known what they had and where they were located, it really put the U.S. into shock. And we didn't even know they were there. They had submarines set in strategic places that they could reach all the major cities with those nuclear bombs. If that had taken place, you wouldn't be living in the United States right now. Nobody would. It would have devastated this whole land. This stuff that they release, when they release these nuclear bombs, like Yahshua said you would see in this time period. You'd have to be an idiot not to believe after seeing, reading that, and saying, how did he know that? He knew that we was going to have this sickness and disease. He knew it was going to be in everybody. He said, what am I going to compare this filthy generation to? And then he tells you throughout, believe the prophets and you'll see what it's going to be like. And Isaiah 24 said, because you have done this, this is coming on you. Yahshua said in this generation, and he said generation, you're in it right now, you're seeing it right now. You want to leave the house of Yahweh? You have a short time to live. May Yahweh bless your understanding, and I'll turn the services back to the next leader. I love you!